I always look a week ahead to see what the reading's going to be, and had a lot of time on the plane to think about it, but some of us who are on the tour, and some of you are present here, we had kind of a living example of a wedding feast. We were in Salzburg, and a lot of our rooms were adjoining. There was a big wedding party going on right below us, and it kept going on until all the hours of the morning, and some of our group did not sleep well that night. One of our group went down to check it out around midnight and got invited in. And even though it was all in German, he had a couple of beers and had a great time. So that's not exactly what Christ is talking about, and yet, though not invited, he came in. And you know, Jesus is willing to invite us to the wedding, but we have to hear the invitation and be ready. We have to ask ourselves the question, who would ever turn down a king if he asked you to come to his son's wedding? Well, there's something about this invitation that people didn't take seriously, or they thought perhaps the gift they had to bring was too expensive, or there's a danger in turning down the king's invitation, but it's a wonderful opportunity if we realize it. This is a bit of a dated example, but I'm going to use it anyway. When I was younger, you know, when Princess Diana got married, I don't know what year that was, but it was a long time ago, and I know my mother stayed up until 3 in the morning to watch this thing live. Did you do that? No? I thought she was nuts. As all of us who were on the plane a couple days ago know, there's a 9-hour time difference between that part of Europe and the West Coast here, so Wynn had to get up quite early to watch this. I think if my mother had received an invitation to come, she would have bought a plane ticket and gone out to see this. She wouldn't have turned it down. And I just thought, I'll watch it on the news tonight. But it was kind of interesting, you know. Jesus invites us to the wedding, but we get excited about the wrong things. It seems as though we don't realize how important it is or how real this wedding is. When we were in Amsterdam, I loved Amsterdam. It's a beautiful city. It was my second visit there. And unfortunately, we were jet-lagged the whole time we were there, so it was kind of a mixed blessing. But on Friday, we arrived on Thursday morning around 9 a.m. We had the day to ourselves. And each of us did something different. But we noticed on Friday that there was a huge line across the street from our hotel, which is right downtown. It was probably 5 or 6 or 8 wide and went all the way around the block. And what do you think that line was for? No, you were here last night. Don't cheat. Who can guess what were all those people waiting for in Amsterdam? They were buying their iPhones, exactly. The iPhone 6. Now, you know, the Pope said every priest should have an old phone. So don't tell him, but I bought an iPhone 6. But not in Amsterdam. But, you know, and the line just kept going and going and going all day long. One of our group went over into the Apple store, and they just had a pile of these things in there. And you know, they get so excited about this thing, by next year it'll be old news, and 2 years from now you won't be able to sell it to anybody. Isn't that true? And yet, Christ offers an invitation to a wedding that's never, a banquet that's never going to end. And it's going to be, imagine what this is like. You know, you have your own place setting, and around you are all your friends and relatives, people that have meant something to you. One can imagine Pope John the 23rd with his chalice. You know, we're connected with the past, that's what a relic is all about, connecting us with the past. That he actually, as I was celebrating Mass this morning, I thought, I just said a prayer to Pope John. I said, at one time you held this chalice, and we're outside of time, and please bless my hands that are also touching this same object that you once held. And this is what heaven is like. And yet, we human beings appreciate only ready cash, not that which is in the future seems so far away. And yet, the Lord invites us to his wedding and asks us to prepare. It seems as though what our Lord, part of this gospel is don't miss your opportunity when God offers it to you. It's going to come in a package that won't look very attractive. Last night we had 72 members of the St. Vincent de Paul Society from the whole area here for dinner. They know that God comes in an unattractive package. Often the people that are hurting and in need will come to them, and we support them financially. For example, Christ comes at Christmas as a little baby. He was ignored or thought low of by many of the high-ups of his day. This is how God will come to us, through ways in which we have to discover him. The invitation is not going to come in a gold envelope. We think that the gift we have to give him is expensive. It's true. We do have to prepare for the wedding. But when we get there, he has a gift for us. He's going to give you your own home, someplace in heaven at some level between the lowest and the highest. And all of that depends on how well we're preparing for the wedding right now. One of the ways that we do that is by accepting the will of God. I say this with a certain amount of hesitation, because I'm often fighting the will of God in my life, and I'm sure you are too. The Lord, we had somebody brought in something. You know, I hate Brussels sprouts. If you love Brussels sprouts, I do not want to hear this. I never knew how they grew. Somebody brought in two big stalks of these horrible things, and they're like this tall. I have a picture of me making a face holding these Brussels sprouts. I almost couldn't stand to look at them. But the Lord serves a banquet in heaven, and he serves a banquet to us. And the banquet is the will of God. Along with the dessert, he's going to serve meat, vegetables, wine, and Brussels sprouts. Sometimes the will of God is not what we would want. But that's part of our training. There's a man that comes into the wedding, and you know, the point of the story is that there is more than one option. We don't have to, it's not an automatic entry. We have to want to come in. I have to accept God's offer. I have to accept Jesus and his salvation. I have faith in him. There are other options, purgatory and hell. The man that's thrown out, it doesn't say he went to hell, but he had to get his garment ready to come in. How do we get our garment ready to come in? I had so much laundry when I came home, it took me about 6 loaves to get it all done. But there's no way I can wash my garment white enough to enter the kingdom of God. Only the Lord's blood, only washing in his blood. And for Catholics, the best way to do this is just a good confession, and God never remembers it again. To be washed like baptism once again in the blood of the Lamb. And then after that, to more and more be accepting of the banquet that is already present and waiting for us in the kingdom of heaven. And that banquet is the will of God. We see this very clearly at Mass. The Mass is a foretaste of that banquet which will never end. Christ uses wedding imagery more than any other in the Gospels and in the Old Testament as well. And we have the sacred meal and the sacrifice of Christ, and we have his word that he speaks to us, and it challenges us every week to do his will more and more. So we pray that God will, as we offer our lives to him, that he will prepare us more and more for the banquet of the kingdom of heaven, and that we will not miss our opportunity when God offers it to us.